Shabbat shalom, brethren, and Chag Sameach. Today is Saturday, the 23rd of April, 2022, and it's Nisan 22. Today we are celebrating the great 8th day, Shemini, which comes after Passover and unleavened bread. There are various great 8th days within the calendar of Yahweh. There is this, well, the main two are these ones at the end of the Passover festival, and then the one at the end of the Festival of Tabernacles, which usually falls around September, October time of the year. There are other 8th days within the year that we honor. For example, the day after the resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach, which would be Nisan 18, because Yahushua resurrected on the 17th. So Nisan 18 was an 8th day, a day of new marking new beginnings. And then there are other 8th days, the Shavuot, Pentecost, the day on which we are baptized by the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. That's another 8th day to honor every year, as it comes after 7 weeks of counting the Omer, or 7 Sabbaths of counting the Omer. Then there is the weekly 8th day, which comes after the Shabbat. So much as Sunday is the first day of the week, it's also the 8th day, which speaks of new beginnings after the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath is a day of refueling. We go to the petrol station, which is Yahushua HaMashiach, our bread of life and cup of salvation, and we refuel, we get serviced as well. We are to sit at his feet and wait upon him. We are to share Holy Communion. We are to worship him in a special way. We are to spend as much time as possible resting, so it's not a day to do housework. We can take walks, but we are supposed to avoid strenuous activities. Hallelujah. So as we were saying in one of the, I think the previous audio which cut out, that the God we serve is the God of do's and don'ts. And if you do observe very well, everywhere you go in this world, there will always be rules and regulations, or terms and conditions for doing things. And each and every one of those people who create rules and regulations wherever, they are copying the Maker, because the Maker set the standard for living. I mean, if there are no rules and regulations, there would be chaos. And that means people would not be remorseful of what they do wrong. We would not be, in fact, there will be no need to have judgment, because, you know, everyone's free to live as they are. And that is what the anti-Messiah wants. He wants to promote lawlessness. So there are believers in Yahushua HaMashiach who prefer to live lawless lives, claiming that there's no such thing as the law of God. The law was done away with. They don't know that as they claim to do that, they are promoting lawlessness that the anti-Messiah is promoting. So we need to repent wherever we have said that the law has been done away with, because we do need the law to be raptured. The law is there to help us challenge the evil inclination in our lives that leads us to sin all the time. Hallelujah. So in the previous audio, we talked about the Shabbat. I apologize, it cut out for some reason due to space. So I'm not going to be able to do many audios regarding yesterday and today. But yes, the previous audio, I did talk about the Shabbat. I talked about other things like Pharaoh. And I read John 20, 15 to 20. I also read a little bit of Ezekiel chapter 29, which talks about, you know, which shows how Yahweh deals with Pharaoh, the heart of Pharaoh. And we get to learn through Ezekiel chapter 29 that Pharaoh, the spirit that operated through Pharaoh to cause him to exalt himself above the Maker and think that he was the king of the world who could do whatever he wanted, was actually the spirit of the dragon. So the dragon, the devil, that is who made Pharaoh to become so proud that he couldn't listen to the creator Yahweh. But at the same time, the evil inclination within Pharaoh joined hands together with the evil spirit of the dragon to make Pharaoh to misbehave. So Ezekiel 29 is extremely important to read because it throws more light on what was going on inside of Pharaoh's spirit in order to make him to enslave the Israelites and refuse to release them. Yahweh decrees judgment on Egypt and says he will turn Egypt to nothingness. By that time, Egypt was ruling the world. Anything you needed was in Egypt. But Yahweh decrees that he will make Egypt to become a land of desolation and waste and no longer a place where people run to for help. And then Yahweh also declares that the river Nile is his. Pharaoh has no right over it. And so the dragon too has no right over it. I had described how the chariot, how Pharaoh prepared to go and, bring back the children of Israel from Pi-Hahiroth, which was around the temple of Baal Zephon in Egypt. He prepared the choicest of his chariots and animals and made sure that whatever he got was to help him to run as fast as possible and get there in one day. There are some people that had followed the children of Israel out of Egypt, and this brought evil report. Some of them who survived after they rose up against Israel, and Israel killed some of them. The ones who survived went back to Egypt and gave evil reports to Pharaoh so that Pharaoh could go and chase after the Israelites to bring them back, because the Israelites had said they're only going for 3 days into the wilderness to worship their God and make sacrifices to him, and then they would be back. So Yahweh decided that rather than the Israelites, you know, go the way he was taking them, he had to bring them back to Pi-Hahiroth and Baal Zephon, where he would show his mighty glory. And in that way, nobody will ever say that the Israelites left Egypt. They left Egypt without the permission of Egypt. So that was the whole point of Yahweh bringing them back to that place, that whereby the Israel found themselves between enemies, okay, between things that were going to endanger them to the point of death. So I did say that they were standing between wild beasts, the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds, and the Egyptians. So on the left and right hand side, there were the beasts, the wild beasts. In front of them was the Sea of Reeds, and behind them was were the Egyptians. It was a great day to celebrate because Yahweh made his appearance physically and exhibited his glory. There was a dispute over the freedom of the Israelites, which was brought up by the angel in charge of Egypt. I've forgotten his name now. You remember that in Genesis 11, when Yahweh was dividing the world into 70 nations and 70 languages, he also assigned 70 angels. So one angel per nation. And those angels are assigned to defend those nations. And so I was going to talk about the Prince of Persia, but no, I don't think the Prince of Persia issue applies here, because in that case, the Prince of Persia was not a holy angel, but rather an evil angel. Hallelujah. So that was Daniel chapter 10. So this angel brought up the issue of, it's not 400 years. It's not yet up to 400 years since Israel came to Egypt. Why are you letting them go now? And Yahweh explained that the 400 years began to count when Isaac was born. Isaac lived 180 years. Then at 180, sorry, the Israelites spent 180 years altogether in Egypt, 86 of which were in bondage. And then the rest of the 40 would be spent in the wilderness, because as much as they had left Egypt, the time to occupy Canaan, the promised land, was not yet in relation to the covenant made between Abraham and the Philistines, and then also the Canaanites. Having heard that Israel had been freed, they started to destroy the land. They destroyed the houses, destroyed plantation. They destroyed various things so that the Israelites have nothing to enjoy when they arrive. And Yahweh said, no, I have promised these people a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey and many other good things. I am not taking them to a land full of destruction. So those 40 years were also a time for the Canaanites to rebuild the land so that the Israelites arrived finding the land looking beautiful and attractive as promised by Yahweh. And by that time as well, by the time of the 40 years, the covenant between Abraham and the Philistines, the covenant of peace, would have come to an end. So the Philistines had no choice but to let the Israelites occupy the land. So there are various things that were involved in the arrangement for the children of Israel to leave Egypt as and when they did. There are other things anyway. There's the issue of transformation. The Israelites needed to be transformed totally, so that by the time they get to the promised land, they had known the law of Yahweh. And they know they have practiced diligently working out their salvation with fear and trembling on a daily basis. Yahweh foresaw that if he had allowed Israel to go into the promised land immediately after the crossing of the Red Sea or the leaving Egypt, they would become occupied with making a living for themselves and forget to study the Torah, which was his most prized possession given to them at Sinai. So they needed to go through a season of transformation before they could occupy the promised land. And we see in the book of Joshua that Yahweh is displeased with Israel, because eventually they did forget about studying the Torah and got occupied with making a living. And so the rebuke came to Joshua, who had to rebuke Israel for what was happening. and they had to find a way to change their ways, because if they don't dwell in the Torah, the evil inclination becomes empowered. And then when sin confronts us, we don't know how to confront it back and overcome it. But if we study the Torah daily and we memorize it, as Joshua chapter 1 says, then we know what to say as and when the devil tempts us to do the wrong thing. Hallelujah. So praise Yah for the victory he gave to Israel at the crossing of the Sea of Reeds. He really did exhibit himself as a mighty man of war. There was a time he told the angels to step aside and let him be the one to do all the fighting. And that just reminds me of, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. He really did deal with the Egyptians, both the ones at the sea crossing and also the ones in Egypt. So Egypt was left totally desolate. The people there were really dealt with. Yahweh dealt with them with a heavy hand. And he burnt them to death because the waters were hot. But he also released fire in Egypt. There was a great thunder and a great lightning and various other things. Every angel that rose up against Israel, you know, every angel that rose up to fight for Egypt, Yahweh destroyed those angels and cast them into the Sea of Reeds. And they were buried together with the Egyptians who were chasing after Israel to kill them. It's really interesting how the Egyptians were so persistent, to the extent that they shot arrows at the Israelites as they were crossing the Sea of Reeds. You know, they just never gave up, even though they could see the glory of Yahweh manifest so mightily. No wonder Yahweh had to kill them and finish them off. You know, that's what he means by suffer not a witch to live. Because witches and wizards, they just never give up until they are dead. They are so persistent. And that's what the Egyptians were. They were witches and wizards who were just not ready to let Israel go. Aside from being anti-Semitic, they were witches and wizards. The only person who survived that day amongst the Egyptians was Pharaoh. And it was for a purpose that he was allowed to leave. It was to glorify the name of Yahweh. His job is to testify about what happened that day and teach the other political leaders a lesson they are not supposed to forget. So he was drowned and he had to experience drowning, but his experience was he was alive the entire time, and he was placed at the bottom of the sea where he was tortured for 50 days. And then he was brought up again and taken to Nineveh, where he stayed as a king until Yahweh took him from this world, but not through death. Pharaoh has never died. Yahweh declared he will never die. He's still alive and he's at the gate of hell, challenging and rebuking each political leader who ends up there, saying to them, why didn't you learn from me and change your ways? Hallelujah. So that was a great day to rejoice. And we learned that when the children of Israel received their freedom from the Egyptians, they sang beautiful songs to Yahweh. The men sang first, then the women, and then the angels. But as the Israelites were singing, the angels were harmonizing in the background, and the sound was so beautiful. So Moses led the men, while Miriam led the women. Hallelujah. Their songs, the words are similar, but they're a little bit different. I think the first song talks about how Yahweh saved the, you know, and helped to multiply the Israelites by letting the mothers give birth in a field a bit far away, so that the Egyptians did not take away their babies. They gave birth supernaturally, and the babies were raised supernaturally. When they grew up, they would go and join their parents. And as soon as they arrived, they always knew who their parents were supernaturally. So that song is really good. It's the song of the Lamb, and it's said that that song will be sung again in the millennial Sabbath reign of Yahushua HaMashiach. And Yahweh will put on a very beautiful garment with the promises of Israel. He wore it that day, but he took it off when Israel sinned, and he tore it up, and he said he won't wear it again until the new millennial Sabbath. Because in the millennial Sabbath, there will be no Satan, no sickness, no death, no evil, no sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. We praise Yah. So that's it, brethren. The Nisan 21 was a beautiful day. I wish to say much more, but for some reason, I'm feeling really strong today and I'm not able to as desired. So I'm not going to say much, but some information that is related to this day has been shared in writing. And we pray that you will be blessed as you read and as you listen to the audios. Hallelujah, in Yahushua's name. I'm going to bring this audio to its end for now. Shabbat shalom and Chag Sameach.